Mitzvot ki ha-shoifa. Is particularly renowned in its association with invoking Midas HaRachama. Chazal tell us concerning the pasuk that we recite just prior to the ki ha-shoifa, Ol Elokim b'sru, Hashem b'kol shoifa. Elokim l'roshen Midas ha-din, Hashem of Yudkei Rovkei b'kol shoifa. That through the Tkiya Shaifa, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam goes from Kisei Din to Kisei Rachamim. The common perception then is that the notion of Shaifa is associated with Midas HaRachamim. Rav Yonasan Eirishitz points out that if we look at Shas, and he cites the Gemara in Ma'id Katan, in Eilu Megalchim, and at least one other such Gemara in Eilu Megalchim as well, that the Shofar is associated with Midas HaDin. The Gemara relates that there was a Gavra Alam, a very powerful individual, and he became upset that a certain Talmud Chacham, they feared for his life. So it says they went to the Beis HaKoros and they blew a 300 Shofaris, and they made a chayram on him, and the guy died. That's one of there's other such gemaras too. So the implication of these gemaras is that shofar is associated with midas hadin, not with midas harachma. So what's the pshat that in our association that we view the shofar as associated with invoking midas harachma? As the Rambam writes, when we talk about Tkiya Shofa, Torah does not relate a reason to Tkiya Shofa. It relates to the union of blowing Shofa. What the reason for that is, Torah does not spell out a reason. So in one regard, we are not obligated to search for a reason for it. Gzeiras HaKosuf. We don't need to have a reason for Gzeiras HaKosuf. But the Rambam does tell us, nevertheless, we do search for a remedy. There are very Ramazan, the Abu Draham apparently, and it quotes something which comes, they say, from the Sadia, of 10 different reasons for Tkiya Shofar. The principal reason for Tkiya Shofar, its principal reason is Ololu is Tzuas Melech Bo. Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchiyah. And Rosh Hashanah is particularly a day of Midas HaDin. To such an extent that there is no vidui in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. Because vidui is a very dangerous process. If you come before the judge and you confess all your crimes, well, it depends how the judge... What? That's a different issue, but the issue when we articulate it is like we're bringing it up, like we're bringing it that it should be considered now. So we can't even ask. Sometimes the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and his Marach Af will push certain things to the side. You know, we don't need to be down on them now, but if we're bringing them up, they're not so easily pushed to the side. So vidoy is a very dangerous process. You go before the judge and you confess. Well, it depends. If the judge woke up on the wrong side of the bed today, says, look at this, 25 crimes, 25 felonies, you know? Put you in jail for 250 years. If the judge is in a good mood today, spent a lot of money in the stock markets, whatever, you know? He's going on vacation next week, a good vacation. No, he confessed, put himself in the mercy of the court. But you don't know what's going to happen. You roll the dice. Rosh Hashanah is because of Midas, and then we don't roll the dice on Rosh Hashanah. We wait until Yom Kippur, the time of Midas HaRachamim, and we're sure that Midas HaRachamim is in place, and then we confess. Achaton. then we know it will be received in the proper way. Rosh Hashanah is the time of Midas HaDin. Din is connected to Truas Melech. A Melech, Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. But the Melech, Melech b'mishpat, is the one that enforces mishpat in the land. Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. Melech is for mishpat. That's why Dafkan Aseres Yimei Tshuva and Yimei HaDin Yifei HaMelech HaKadosh. Kael is a Lashon HaMidas HaRachamim. The Melech, Melech is Midas HaDin. Melech for Mishpat Yamei Daratz. At the time when there's din, that emphasizes the malchus of Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is particularly the day of malchus, is the day of din. The shofar is to acknowledge malchus Hashem. I mean, Yonis and Avish, it says, then what is the notion that shofar invokes Midas HaRachamim? The notion is that if the prosecutor has it in for you, so what do you do? And he has a good case, and he really has it in for you. What do you do? Put yourself in the mercy of the court, because you're quite sure you're not going to succeed in defending yourself anyhow against the prosecutor. And he really has it in for you. So what do? You come and you confess. I'm guilty. So now the prosecutor, his role is finished. There's nothing more to say. So he says, we come before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and we tell the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Ashamnu, in effect. You know, we didn't exactly do the things we were supposed to do the last year, or to the measure that we should have done them. You know, there's more that we can do. So, that by accepting the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves, that itself is what brings me to Saracham. We humble ourselves before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And if we accept Malchus Hashem upon ourselves and place ourselves in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's hands, that itself is the schus to bring the Midas HaRachamim. It is exactly through the process of accepting the din upon ourselves. And he says, that's the pshat in a very enigmatic Gemara. The Gemara asks, why is it that we blow shofar, tkiyas de miyushuv, tkiyas de ma'umid, why do we have 30 kodesh before the Shemoneh Esrei, according to most Rishonim, there are 30 kodesh during the Shemoneh Esrei? 130 kailas is enough. We're yaitu the derisa. So what's the point of everything else? So the Gemara answers the arve v'sasot, to confuse the sot. A very strange notion. First of all, do we think that the sot is a mere boss of a dom? So he spends the whole year outsmarting us. All of a sudden, in Erev Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, we're going to outsmart him. Shot. And there's one other thing you have to know in life, that if you succeed in fooling someone once, don't try to fool them the same way a second time. It's not going to work. And we come back every year with the same trick. You know, at least, you know, the Chazal should have given us a whole safer of tricks, you know, and every year we'll have a new one, you know, so okay. But every year the same thing. So we understand Abisha says, let's go for the pshat. What's the Irvav HaSotin? The Irvav HaSotin is we say, we'll machni ourselves to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We accept the Rabbeinu Shalom's mishpat upon ourselves. Then he's finished. He has nothing to say. So, I don't need you. There's nothing more to talk about. So now everything is in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. What did Dovid HaMelech say in Sefer Shmuel? He say it each morning and afternoon in the Tachna. At least those that don't follow me, they're gross, say it. The ultimate Balarachim is the Rabbeinu Shalom. And therefore, what if we have to accept din upon ourselves, David HaMelech says, Ayomer David al God, Niplo Novi Yad Hashem, he had a choice of three different Einshim. He said he wants the one that is most associated, most directly from the Ribbono Shel Olam, with the least intervention of people involved. Why? Ki Ravim Racham, but to Viyad Odom al HaPayim. And similarly, what we wish to do, there's a Kateinah, there's a Sotan. We wish to run away from the Midas Adin that it represents. What do? We put ourselves in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Niplo Novi Yad Hashem, Ki Ravim Racham. So it's through, in fact, the process of Malchius, through our acceptance of the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Melech HaMishpat, that we come to meet the Sarachim. But it's initially through the process of Din. Tshuva. Have a teresim a tshuva. Have a shayla. And in my siddur, I only found 8. I didn't find 10. No, I do know how to count, Rabbi Yisrael. I know how to count. At least from 1 to 10. You know. Beyond that, I'm not so sure. Up to 10 I can get. But I only have 8. What? Starting from Tom Gedalia through Yom Kippur, I see tshuva. You know, tshuva and slicha. I understand, where's the tshuva? Where's the tshuva on Rosh Hashanah? Tshuva? Tshuva necessitates vidut. Where's the tshuva? Hashamna or Rosh Hashanah? Shaila, some hold that in between the tekiyas, balachas you're allowed, which is also not our practice, even to do that much. But where's the tshuva? You look through the entire tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. Is the one word about tshuva? Yeah, after Masana Taitiv with tshuva, tefillah, tzaka, mavir, nesar, gzer. That's the entire tshuva for Rosh Hashanah. What? Melech, kol ha'aretz, mekadesh, zol, yom, azifah. Come to Yom Kippur, Melech, moichol, avon, haseinu, aroi, nesar, aroi, okay. They were talking about tshuva. The Rosh Hashanah is the moichol. Fine. So I said, I count 8 days of tshuva. Where's 10? No, I don't think all my forebears for the last 3,500 years got it drunk. I'm not so presumptuous. But the pshat is that the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is of a different nature. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is through the process of Malchus. By accepting the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as Melech upon us, that's the manner of tshuva. If we could fully accept the Ribbono Shel Olam as our Melech, with Hashem Elokeinu, if we could fully accept him as our Melech, then we'd have no problem with Chaton. The problem is that we are deficient in the Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. That's why we get ourselves into trouble. But if we properly but Mekabel Olmach Hashemayim, there'd be no room for Chaton. There'd be nothing more to talk about. I don't want to go into this. There's a whole arichus to this. But I did find in the Ksavim of Rav Chatzka Levenstein, Zecher Tzadik L'Vracha, subsequent to my considering this, I did find that he says it. Flat out. That this is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. It's through Malchi. It's with the Shefer is Truas Melech. It's consistent with the entire Avodah of Rosh Hashanah of Malchus. In the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we have 3 mentions of Shefer in the Torah. 2 reference to Rosh Hashanah. And 1 reference to Yom HaKippurim in Parsha. Yom HaKippurim, Taviru Shofar B'chol Ha'artzichan, the beginning of Parsha's Baha. And Chazal tell us we have a Kabbalah that all the tiers of Chodesh HaShvi are all one unit. So that means that we have to have 3 blowings. on Rosh Hashanah, and 3 blowings on Yom Kippur. So Min HaTorah, as the Shulchan Aruch tells us, so what would we have? If you have to have 3 truths, and the Kabbalah is that every true has to have a tekiah before and a tekiah afterwards. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Kam tekiahs chayav on the Shulchan Rosh Hashanah. Teisha, exactly 9. Well, Torah became, and that's it. We're giving them about 15 seconds this year, and that's it. After that, we got to get on with things, you know. They're diving again too late. You know? That's it. See, we're giving them 15 seconds. He's fast enough. He can make 9 kilos in 15 seconds. So that's it. Well, what's the problem? Why don't we have the fish in there? My true b'yoyvel over Rosh Hashanah. Give him a bomb. It's a chakal. We call true pshutul of an el pshutul acharel. If the Ashura longer with the chaylik of the Torah Shemopah, she go true is a chaydish a shvi echad. It's one unit. Bein Rosh Hashanah, bein Yom Kippurim, Shal Yoyvel, Teshet Tkiyah, Stoikim, Becholechad, Beshneim, 3 times, Tkiyah, true, Tkiyah, and that's it. What happened here? Why does Shofar take so long? Why is it so complex? So, the Shaila is that we know that we're not 100% sure what the true is. We don't know whether true is what we call shvor, true is what we call true, or true is what we call shvorim true. So now we just went from, so the Shulchan Aruch says, so we do all 3. So now we just did 9 and 9, it's 18 and 12, so now we went up to 30. Then we went to, well, which 30 do we need? So we really only need the 30 that are associated with the Shmoneh Esrei. That's all we need. So why do we blow 30 more before? L'arvav v'tasot, before the tefillos. And then 40 more somehow got added on. Exactly how is a good question. Some say it's associated that Chazal tell us that the Aim Sisra, she cried 100, that there were 100 cries. So Shaila is, the mother of Sisra was less than the most sterling of characters. If you read the little bit that the Novi has to say about her, she's not someone we would like to have as our next door neighbor. When Sisra went off to war, and he's defeated and killed by Borok, and finally he's put to death by Yoel. So she's very concerned. Zindel, our son, they didn't show up, they didn't come home yet from the battle. So how did the neighbors console her? Oh, he's busy abusing women and pillaging, so he doesn't have time to come home. This is how you comfort a mother. She was not one of the world's most sterling characters. So why do we guess? So she cried 100 times. Let her cry a million times. What does that have to do with us? So I always thought the pshat is that the midas hadin afflicted her. That she cried. Tanakh tells us there were 100 cries because of the midas hadin. So when we are threatened with midas hadin, say chazak. The Torah already told us a response to midas hadin is with 100 cries. But we also cry 100 times. Now, it's interesting. Where did this stem from? It says the Gemara tells us in Daf Lamed Daled in Rosh Hashanah that Iskin Rabavu beKesari, and he's the one that made this whole arrangement. And Rabavu my Iskin. This whole process that we have comes from Takonas Rabavu, Itzkin Rabavu B'Kesari. It's very interesting why exactly did Rabavu and Kesari make this Takona that we have, this multifaceted fashion of the Yashoifu. Yeah. I want to explore really the Chiddush Tikka Shita. The well-known Shita tells us that the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch and the Shita of the Rambam, Shita of the Ramban, that it's a real Sofik Deraisa in terms of what Shvarim Trua is. And we have three possibilities. So therefore, Mitzara Din will Mechuyav to do all of them to be Yotzir Mitzvah Deraisa. So the Shaila remains, which I don't want to explore that tomorrow, the Sukhi now. So what happened in Torah Bavu? Isken Rabavu. And what happened in Torah Bavu? What was Klal Yisrael Rabavu? Was not from the, you know, from the first thing, it was not a contemporary of Yeshua. So what happened in Jewish history until this time? So the Rambam writes, this was something which was a problem that arose in the Golos, there was confusion in the Golos, etc. And that's the cause of it. We still don't fully understand how exactly it happened, but in the 20th century we're a little bit clearer how such things happen. You know, we witnessed one of the great upheavals, the greatest upheavals in Jewish history in the last century, where between 1890 in 1950, the Jews, what was the seat of Jewry for 1,000 years, terminated, and Jews, unfortunately, many died, and the rest basically ran away. Whoever could run away, ran away. Whether before the war, during the war, or after the war. But whoever could, ultimately. Now, in the process of the flight between 1890 and the Second World War, people arrived at all places in the world where we'd never been before, where they had little education, a little understanding, a little leadership. And Mamela, the Amoratus that prevails, is off the charts. Would have been hard to conceive of what a Poshet Yid knew. Not because he learned it in the Gemara, but just because he lived as a Jew. He knew it. You could have communities of Jews that had no idea that these are basic Jewish notions, basic Jewish ideas, basic Jewish practices. So that under those circumstances, that all types of practices could take root. And at a time when not much was written, we didn't have a formal Shulchan Aruch until that time. So it's much easier for mistakes to creep in and very, very hard to correct them. There are mistakes in the halacha which some of them, they go on for a century. And despite all the efforts of the Rabbanim to undo the mistakes, they can't. It takes generations to undo a mistake. So that's perhaps the vicissitudes of Jewish history, the Rambam was telling us, and earlier times led also to such confusion. Others have a different standpoint of Haigon, I believe. That it's not what happened to Haigon. The fact is the Torah was non-specific about what the Teruah is, was for a very simple reason. Because there is no specific way that it has to be done. As long as the Teruah is a sob, as long as one is involved in a sobbing type sound, one's yoytzer the mitzvah. Whether that's a Teruah, whether it's a Shvarim, whether it's a Shvarim Teruah, makes no difference. The yoytzer was all of them. So Elamai said, how exactly people expressed the wailing of people in times of tragedy was culturally different in different places. So in each place they blew a truah, which approximated their idea of how a person cried at a time of tragedy. So what did Rav Avuhu want? The Rav Hai says, he yaitzes no matter which way you hear it, he yaitzes. Doesn't make any difference whatsoever. You can, the way your community does it, the way the next town does it, the next Medina, whatever. You can by you, they blow Truva, they blow Shvarim, the next place Shvarim. Anyone that you hear, you do it all of them. So what did Rav Avuhu want? Iskin Rav Avuhu. What was his problem? So he says, Iskin Rav Avuhu was for one thing. He had one issue. And that is that he just held that we can't conduct Jewish practice in such a fashion. That Pesachia Shefa goes on in every town in a different fashion. You don't run the religion that way. You know, if there are different cultures and different customs, so he wanted to make a uniform practice. So the only way to make a uniform practice, you couldn't stop people from doing what they did. So you had to introduce that they had to do the other practices too. So Mavela, now wherever you go to the Beis HaKnesses, you hear the same Tekiah Shofar. I mean, otherwise, you know what happens in Jewish life. We are, in a positive sense, Am Geshei Erev. I mean, it's used, the Rabbanu Shalom rebukes us as Am Geshei Erev, and Moshe Rabbeinu defends us as Am Geshei Erev. Why? It's that tenacious commitment and belief in that which, in what we do, which has assured our survival in all of the Jewish history. We're unshakable. Yeah. There are corollaries to it that are less than the most pleasant. And one of the corollaries is that one community looks askance at another community's practices. I mean, I can't imagine on such a relatively minor halacha as a standing or sitting by Kiddush, which is discussed already in the Rishayim, the amount of venom that is poured forth on this subject that is beyond belief. The consideration of communities which differ from one's practice is amaratim. It's very strange. I mean, this is whatever you decide to do. I mean, the Rishonim already debated it. There are varied possibilities, and the Kehilas have been doing these things for hundreds and hundreds of years. And yet a person comes, and the next guy sits by Kiddush, and he's like flabbergasted, like, oh, the guy fell on his head, you know. Listen, it's part of the Am Geshei Erev. So I guess in that regard, Rav Iskin of Avuhu was a wise course of action that it made the practice uniform. We have enough things that we'll feud about, you know, until the Sanhedrin arrives to make order, that we don't need another one. You know, so I'll come back Rosh Hashanah, I went to shul, I was in Yates, I don't know what they did over there, you know, what I fell into. So Iskin of Avuhu. It's very, very fascinating that Rav Hayyim's interpretation, that it was not motivated in and of itself by the halacha, but rather for the uniformity of practice, is what motivated it. Very, very interesting. Now, I want to take a little bit of a look at what we actually do here in the Beis HaKnesses, in the blowing of the shofar, and what some of the considerations are for it. Principally, the tekiah has to be cannot be shorter. Obviously, it has to be longer than the shvorim truah. Right? It can't be shorter. So we can't have a shvorim that's going to wind up being as long as a tekiah, because then that shvorim is a tekiah. So we have to make sure that the shever doesn't wind up to be as long, any sound of the shever does not wind up to be as long as the key itself. Now, how to gauge this, there are two different ways to look at it. And that is, do we look at it in terms of each individual set that we're doing? And that is that Shvorim Truah obviously takes longer than Shvorim or Truah. So the tekiah that's associated with that is a longer tekiah. So when it comes to the Shvorim, well, how long can the Shvorim be? Can the Shvorim be as long as the Shvorim or the Truah? Can it be as long? Let's say I'm blowing Shvorim Truah, and I blow a Shvorim which is long, as long as a Shvorim would be. Meaning to say, it's as long as a tekiah would be when I blow tekiah, shvorim tekiah. So now when I'm blowing tekiah, shvorim through a tekiah, so I'm blowing a shvorim, which if I did that when I was blowing tekiah, shvorim tekiah, would be no good. But now I'm not blowing that. So what are we trying to do? So what we try to do is we try to make everything uniform. And we try, in fact, that we should never make anything as long as the shortest kiyah. In other words, no shvarim should be as long as the shortest kiyah. So even though I could have a relatively short kiyah, we'll fill it in with time soon, for shvarim or for truah, but nevertheless, I shouldn't blow that type of shevra, slightly more than that type of shevra, when I'm blowing shvarim truah lechatchila. I mean, one of the reasons is that it's going to make tremendous confusion. Like, it's all over the map. People are going to get confused. What's good, what's not good. So uniformity helps us stay on track. So we try to be uniform. Now, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the tkiyas that are associated with tkiyas shvarim tkiyah, tkiyas truah tkiyah, should be of 2 seconds duration. The ones that are associated with Tashrat should be a 4 second duration. So if you assume that the one for the Tkiyah Shvarim Tkiyah is 2 seconds, that means the Shvarim is slightly less than 2 seconds. And we're assuming it's 2 seconds for the Tkiyah Truah Tkiyah, so the Truah is also slightly less than 2 seconds. So if you add those up together, so you wind up that you have about 4 seconds. So therefore, the Tkiyah of Kiyah Shvarim through it Kiyah should be about 4 seconds, according to Rav Moshe. For technical reasons, just in the ease of gauging the time principally, I'm myself a little bit on that, and I usually use about 6 seconds for the Kiyah Shvarim through it Kiyah, and I use about 4 seconds for the Kiyah, the other Kiyahs. Just in timekeeping, since I try to measure it by timekeeping, it's just easier that way because I don't have to worry what second, if I'm a partial second, fractional seconds. So it's just easier to measure that way. I know that I definitely have, you know, maybe I could have cut it down by 1 second, perhaps. But this way I know that I have the full 2 seconds. I didn't, you know, chop it in any way. So I just, for ease of measurement, I added a little... an extra second at the beginning and end. And Baruch Hashem, we have a Baltkeya, Baruch Hashem, then it doesn't make any difference to it at all. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to the Shvarims, I don't allow any Shvarim to hit 2 seconds. Any Shevra. I want like one and, you know, just over one is what I want. Somewhere around one. It doesn't even, around that. But as long, I make sure that it never hits 2 seconds. If it hits 2 seconds, to go back. Now, we wouldn't necessarily, that's in terms of when we're blowing tkiyah shvarim. If we're blowing halacha l'maisa, if we're blowing tkiyah shvarim through a tkiyah, and I made one so long, I really would not have to go back. Because as long as it's not as long as a 4 second thing, then there's no chayvus to go back again for it. That's in terms of the time considerations that we use. And I said, we're fortunate that we have a... Bonnie, you have a question.
Is the true about take longer than the shever, the
star? The true is lightning, the way the Abalt Kaya blows. It's very, very hard. I cannot... It's impossible to keep up a count of the numbers. No, you can only do it by time calculation. It is so fast that the ear cannot follow it. He typically does probably from 15 to 18 kailas, it is true. And if you count, you'll never get anywhere near that. Because they're way too fast. The ear just pushes. You cannot keep track of it. Listening. It just shoots by too fast to be able to keep an accurate count. But he typically does the 15 to 18.
But if the truth takes more than 2 seconds, that would be a problem. Kiyah truah
tkiyah. But it does not the whole. It's each little bit.
Each little bit.
Yeah, the totality does not make a difference how long you happen to make it truah. The whole, you know, and make a million of them is also fun. Yes. But it just, in the rapidity of how fast he blows, he usually, you know, just doesn't. Yeah, he can't, it's sort of just like 15 to 18, just shoot out. But you'll never be able, it's way too fast for the ear to be able to count them. You'll never get to 15 to 18. Nowhere near it. But that's actually how many he's blowing.
What if the true has to be longer than
Then tkiya has to be long. Because that's the definition of tkiya. Tkiya is a long sound. That's exactly what's the difference between the tkiya and the shvarim. The shvarim is a lesser sound by definition. It's a less size, less length. Otherwise, if I'm going to blow a shever, which is as long as a tkiya, then it's a tkiya. Just because I blew three of them, so I blew three tkiyas. Right, but makes
there a pasuk or is there a
no? That's follows from the fact that it has to be. In other words, this a tkiya is a long sound. Now everything else is a different sound, and if it's going to be as long as that, then it's already a tkiya.
So chazal was that.
Yeah. So those are the basic considerations that we have. Now we have no particular halacha about the tkiya gdoila. It has no halachic significance. I mean, even if he wouldn't blow the tkiya gdoila, if he stopped before the tkiya gdoila, I wouldn't make him go back. He yotze 100% without it. And we have a tkiya gdoila for what reason? Because when musicians end a set, so they end with a long note. So that's a siman that he's ending one of the sets as he blows a longer note. And for whatever reason, that became the practice that we blow along, you know, on Motzei Yom Kippur. Some places, in fact, had the notions of Trua Gedoila, not an R minute. They didn't have a Tkiya Gedoila, they had a Trua Gedoila, they blew an extra long Trua. But in our practices, we have a Tkiya Gedoila, but it's really not halachically significant. Now, it's also, you're very, very hard pressed to find a mocker for. Is exactly how the last 40 tkiyas are laid out. There's no real makiris that I'm aware of which dictates of how to lay out the last 40 tkiyas. And why do we stop the Kaddish before Tiskabel and we blow tkiyas there? Everybody blows tkiyas there. We in this Beis HaKnesses, I blow all 40 there. I don't see any reason to make another 10 later on. So I make a set of 40 and I finish the 100. But why does everybody blow at that point? And the Torah of Risk, which goes back to where we started tonight, the Tkiya is involved with bringing the Midas HaRachamim. But Tkiya in the world of Risk is classified as an aspect of Tefillah. It's an aspect of tefillah. Therefore, before we ask Tiskabel to loosen or loosen the whole basis of Sorokal and Wundi Rishmaya, right then we blow again. Because the tefillah of Tiskabel is on the tkiyas too. It's on the davening and on the tkiyas, because the tkiyas are a chelak of the tefillah. Which is the reason that I want to end all the 40, the 100 tkiyas at that time. I'm going to add the extra 30. So I had the extra 10 also before Tiskabel. I don't see any reason, there's no reason that you can't have 40. And since I do not believe in any, that there's an absolute minhag as to how to do the last 10 koilas, where to do them, when to do them, how to do them, to do them. You know, I'm not even sure that everyone does them either. So consequently, I do those 40 right before Tiskabel. So at the end, we have in fact, instead of 3 lines of each, we have 4 lines of each. So we have 16 koilas. I'm sorry, 16 koilas of Tashrat, and 12 each of the other ones. So Sach HaKol, 12 and 12 and 16 is 40. That's the cheshbon that we have in terms of how we actually blow the tkiyas at the end. Now, in keeping with the notion that the shofar, the tkiyas, are a chelek of the tefillah, that's the pshat. There's something which is very, very enigmatic. And the Ramban addresses it in the drushas, in this drusha, Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh obviously holds from the same shita, but the Rosh doesn't spell out in the Rosh, the Torah. In the Rosh we find, if we put The Rosh writes in two different places in Shas. In one place he writes that the Ikra Tkiyas are the Tkiyas. The Ikra Tkiyas are the Tkiyas to Mu'umad, the principal Tkiyas. One was undoubtedly Yotzei with the first 30. You heard the first 30 and you went home, Yotzei the Mitzvah. So what's the pshat to the second 30 of the Ikra Tkiyas? If I wasn't Yotzei, fine, I understand. But if I was Yotzei after the first 30 Tkiyas, if I went home, I was Yotzei the Mitzvah. So what's the pshat to the next 30 of Ikra Tkiyas? The pshat is that if a person had only the opportunity to hear one of the sets of Tkiyas, either the Tkiyas to Miyusha or the Tkiyas to Ma'umad. So he's supposed to go to the Tkiyas to Ma'umad. Why? Because the brochas of the Shemona Esrei, of Malchi, of the Finest and Shofars, were enacted to work together with Shofar. They're supposed to be in tandem with each other. Yeah, from the perspective of Brisk, that Tkiyas are a chelek of the Tefillah. That's what we mean, it's Ikra Tkiyas. Listen, if I have Yotzei the Deraisa, but there's a particular Indian on Rosh Hashanah that the Brochas speak together with Tkiyas. And if I had to choose, I would choose only, if I could only attend one of them, I would go to the second 30 and not come to the first 30 Tkiyas. If I had a choice, I could hear one or the other, I would go to the second 30. Because the Indian is to have the Brochas Mamei to be together with the Tkiyas. So, in that sense, that we consider the one to say that our brach is Ikra. But this also just underscores the role of Shofar as a chilek of the tefillah. Yeah.
In those schools where you have the key of both of the thousand,
yeah. This is a very complex, I cannot answer that question. My assumption is that Tkiyas in the Chazaras Hashat are more important. But I'm not 100% sure that I'm right. And that really depends on a different question. It really depends on what is the role of the Chazaras Hashat altogether. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tefillah that what is Tefillah B'Tzibur? The Rambam says, Tefillah B'Tzibur is the Shliach Tzibur gets up and he says the Shemona Esrei, and that's the Tefillah of the Tzibur. So, Rav Chaim learned in the Rambam that, and it's consistent of the fact with the Dinam and the Shulchan Aruch, as I'll show you in a moment, that the Chazaras Hashat has a significance in its own right. It's not just a formality which existed because once upon a time there were ignoramuses that couldn't daven, so Mamelu we enacted a Shleach Tzibur. You know, that's like, you know, which is sort of the attitude that exists as far as Chazaras Hashat. The Chazaras Hashat is the Tefillah of the Tzibur. That's the ultimate Tefillah of the Tzibur is Chazaras Hashat. The silent monastery is tefillah of yechidim, which is bit tzibur, which we do together with the community. But the tefillah of the tzibur itself is the Chazaras Hashat. And the Gra also makes this point in his Ksovim. The Gra says, the Gemara says that if a person has a particular need, he should be mispalal and he should repeat it, and he should daven again. So he says, what's the davening again? The davening again is to say Amen b'Chazaras Hashat. That's the second tefillah, to daven again. And it's the koyach, it's the schus of tefillah sarava. Now, if we learn that that's the ikar atfilah, as one learns in the Rambam, then l'chayra, that the ikat kiyas have to be associated with it. If we're going to learn, as others do, that the ikash manesu is the first one, and the chazaras hashat is merely there for the purpose of taking care of the ignorant, so then l'chayra, the first one manesu would be the ikar. Now the halacha always to me seemed in accordance with the Rambam, common practice, because otherwise I have a very big kasha. There's a whole Torah of, particularly on Rosh Hashanah, but there's a whole Torah throughout the year of who's roy to be a Shliach Tzibur. Now, if the Shliach Tzibur today, what function does the Shliach Tzibur serve? And particularly on Yom HaNorah, what function does he serve? He sings, okay, fine. Listen, if you have to daven, he might as well sing nicely too. You know, if you have to listen to him for 2 hours, it might as well be pleasant to listen to. But what are we so concerned? He's a Yorei Shamayim, and he's a what's all that is important? If this is merely a formality, then what's the tachlis? What's the point? So from that I always suspected, and it was mashma to me in the Kafa Chaim also, in the name of the Arizal, like that as well, that Shmon Esrei is the Chazor HaShat is a full-fledged, a real tefillah. And as the Rambam writes, the tefillah is a tzibur. Now Mamela, obviously, when we appoint the Kohen Gadol, no one's going to ask why we're Bailik is Tittus. I mean, the Kohen Gadol, I mean, you know what he has to do for us? He has to go before the Rabbeinu Shel Olam single-handedly on Yom Kippur, and he has to get us kapar. So, imagine if it was a Melech Bos of Adam. How careful we would be to choose the appropriate shliach, right? That the Melech would accept with respect and with dignity and feels that he's loyal to the king, etc., right? To put our faith in his hands, right? We wouldn't take someone that the king is likely to get angry at. Because when he gets angry at him, that we're all doomed. So when it came to the Kohen Gadol, we'd have no shyness. Why? We do 100 investigations before we mask him, then he can represent us on Yom Kippur. But that's L'chaira. Without the Rambam, I wouldn't understand what's our big hang-up about who the Shliach Tzibur is and Yom Kippur. Marash, whoever he is. You know, let him make a good show and sing well, and that's all. So be comfortable until we get out of show. But the fact that, so we said, that he has to be the Yorei Shamayim, etc., and Baruch to the Kol, and all of those things, suggests that his tefillah is, in fact, the tefillah of the tzibur. And we have it in common practice, too. In the tefillah of Ne'ilah, so we have one of the piyutim begins with the Shlosh Esrei Midos. Now, in many places, the Chazan says the first Shlosh Esrei Midos himself. Then the Kol says, and then they do stand the Matins, and everybody does all the rest of them together. But we know that you can't do the Shlosh Esrei Midos b'chidus. So how is it that the Shliach Tzibur recited the first one? But the Pshat of the Shliach Tzibur then is in the middle of Chazor HaShatz. And there he doesn't speak. The Shliach Tzibur in Chazor HaShatz is not a yochad. He's the voice of the entire Rabbah. That is the din of tzibur. He doesn't need anyone else to say along with him. When he speaks, that's all the Klal Yisrael speaking. So that also seems to follow with this practice. And we have another halacha, daily halacha, which is also rooted in this. In there's a whole commotion. What is the appropriate way for the Shliach Tzibur to recite the Kedusha? When it comes to Kadosh, 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 Baruch Kavod and Yimloch, should he recite it in unison with the tzibur? Well, he's one of the tzibur. He wants to have a minion. But on the other hand, why do we need the Shliach Tzibur to recite the Chazor HaShatz, the Kedushin Chazor HaShatz? Because if someone didn't finish Shmon Esrei yet, or at least if he's been brochel the brochel in Shmon Esrei according to Rav Henkel, and if he didn't finish, so we could listen to the Shliach Tzibur and be yaitzu with him. So yeah, on the other hand, we want the tzibur to hear him. So, but if he's going to wait until everyone finishes, then how can he say Kedusha? So there are two practices which are both brought in the Achrona. Rav Moshe Zatzal had a very interesting Hachro. He said that if you're dealing in a situation, for example, like an yeshiva where they do a Hoicha Kedusha, so nobody's in the middle of the Shmon Esrei, so then the Shliach Tzibur might as well say together with everybody and be yoy to the holidays. But if it's a classical Chazor HaShatz, and there are people still davening, so you should dafka wait until the tzibur finishes so that everyone will hear. How does it work? So it obviously it works with that same notion that he is the voice of the tzibur, the din of the tzibur. It doesn't need anybody that's together with him. A good givench yorah voice.